Yeah, so Neil asked me to share this evening. Neil, it's just great to have you back, man.
Amen.
Oh, we missed you. It's like whenever the leader's not here, it's awesome. I mean, the body steps up, but like, it's so good to have you here. As soon as you're here, it's just, everything kind of clicks. So I'm just stoked you're back, and we're just praying you're going to get better, man. I know you've been sick for a while, so we're just praying you're going to get back to full health. And I asked Neil earlier, I said, how does it feel to be 40 and one day old? And this look came over his face for a moment. I could see he was having that like 40-year-old moment of reflection. And so guys, just encourage him, hey? Just speak life and encourage him. You look great for 40, bro. Okay. So as we get started this evening, there's a couple of questions I wanted to ask us. Simple question. Who here believes that God wants to speak to them? If you do, just stick your hand up. Yes, God. So we're here tonight because He wanted to speak to us. And then the next question is, who here tonight has heard God speak to them this week? Okay, awesome. And who's heard God speak to them today? Yes. This evening? Yeah. And the reason I ask that question is that God's speaking all the time, actually. Every day, every moment, every situation, God is speaking. It's just a matter of us being able to tune in and connect and hear what He's saying and hear what He's doing and see it. And you're going to see why I ask that question, because I'm going to get to it later. But a couple of weeks ago, Neil had felt, and we as an eldership team had felt, that it would be good for us to spend some time as a church on the back of apostolic input we'd had, actually, from the team that came down from Benoni and from what God was saying over the time of the gathering, which seems like ages ago, doesn't it? Yeah, because so much happens in life. Is that we need to spend some time, again, looking at what God is like, and then once we see what God is like, it enables us to live lives that please Him. Really, it's like quite simple, but the simple things are usually the most important things. And so this evening, we're going to look at another aspect of God's nature, of His character. 2 weeks ago, Ryan was here last week, phenomenal. If you missed it, check it out online. It was amazing. But 2 weeks ago, I preached on God as holy. I don't know if you knew that, Bryce, but I love the holiness flow in the songs that you chose. And God, yeah, just singing to God as holy. If you were tipped off, well played, but yeah, it's just amazing to sing about His holiness tonight. And I started this looking at God's nature and character with a focus on His holiness because it's the essential aspect of who He is. Do you remember that illustration I used of light? I said like a ray of light or the sun that you see is filled with a spectrum. And so there are many facets to light, but the essential nature of what we're able to see expressed as light towards us is a picture of God's holiness. And then within the spectrum of light, all His characteristics. So His goodness is holy. His justice is holy. His love is holy. So He's a holy God speaking to us, but within the spectrum of His love, there's so many facets to who He is. And I began last time, and put it up, John 17, verse 3, Jesus praying, and says this praying to the Father obviously speaking to us today, saying, this is eternal life, that we know Him, or that we know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. And God's heart for us to know Him, let alone us. I mean, we want to hear His voice. We want to have relationship with Him. That's why most of us are here tonight. But on the other side of it, of that is Him, is God who wants to be known. He loves to be loved, and He loves to be known. And so this evening, I want to touch on a kind of the next aspect of an attribute of who God is, so that we can know what He's like, and then we can live lives that please Him. And so going back a couple of weeks ago, you remember, for those that were here, I used Moses as an example, and I'm going to continue with that this evening. Moses was going for a nice walk, kind of a walk along the promenade, you might say, going for a nice stroll, beautiful evening, and then all of a sudden, there's this burning bush that appears, and from the burning bush, God speaks to him and calls him. And I unpacked a couple of weeks ago how it's incredible how, as Moses identifies that this is God speaking to him, it says that he's standing on holy ground. Not on good ground, not on loving ground, not on gracious ground, but holy ground. Because he's a holy God. And then God speaks to him and reveals his name. And we were singing about the name that we know and love and worship, the name of Jesus. But Jesus is God. And one of the ways in which we looked at how God had revealed himself in the Old Testament, how he revealed himself to Moses, was he said, I am the great I am. I am who I am. I said, isn't that such an interesting thought? Like, imagine introducing your friend. Like, this is my friend, I am. You'd think he's crazy. Like, yeah. But God, because of who he is, because of how set apart from us he is, because of how holy he is, he reveals himself with a special name. And he says, I am who I am. And Shosh did such a great job for us of unpacking some of the Hebrew understanding of what that name means. And it's beautiful. Speak to her if you want to know more. But this evening I want to touch on another aspect of God, of attribute of who God is. And that is the fact that God is merciful. He's holy, but that God is a God of mercy. And I just wanted to read you this little kind of story illustration, which I always find humorous and helpful thinking about mercy, just to settle us this evening. And it's this, it's brief. It says, a man was having his portrait painted by a successful artist. When the portrait was finished, it was unveiled. And the man was not happy with the result. When asked whether he liked it, he said to the artist, I don't think it does me justice. To which the artist replied, sir, it is not justice you need, but mercy. Obviously not a very good looking guy, right? I just love that. I think it's funny and it's humorous. So just chew on that for a second. But this evening, as we look at the mercy of God, I also just wanted to remind us of, like, as we look at these truths of who God is, we always got to be going back to, like, the foundations. Got to be reminding ourselves of where we began and where Scripture begins. And as we know, Scripture starts with us in Genesis 1, right at the beginning, where God, this holy God, this God who's so other than us, wants to share who he is with us. And so he creates the world. He creates the world perfectly. There's nothing wrong with it. It is perfect and it is good. And he creates all of what we see, and we are the pinnacle of his creation. Human beings created in his image. And we are placed in this world. We are given the gift of life, right? But in order for life, as human beings, in order for us to truly have life, God also gives us probably the most important things that human beings have, and that is the ability to choose. We're not animals of instinct. We are human beings who have the ability rationally to choose whether we want to have McDonald's tonight or kawaii. We have the ability to choose. And that is the essential, it's one of the essential aspects of life. And so we see right at the beginning, God creates Adam and Eve, and they choose right from the beginning not to worship God. He's given them this perfect world, this perfect place to live, but human beings being human beings, we think we know better. And so right from the beginning, they choose not to worship God. They want to do things their own way. They eat of the fruit that we know they shouldn't have eaten of. And that brings a curse upon humankind known as original sin. Because human beings right from the beginning have rebelled against who God is. Despite the fact that what he created was perfect. There's nothing wrong. And he dwelt in the midst of that. I mean, can you imagine God himself walking amongst that Garden of Eden? And the reason I mention that is because actually so much of what we understand about life and godliness has to start there. We need to know that there's a separation between us and this holy God. He's not like us. We might be created in his image, but he's very different from us. And so we are called to worship him, in spirit and truth, and with a knowledge and an understanding of who he is. You with me? Okay, so that's a reminder from kind of the overarching picture of Scripture, but right at the beginning, that God is God. Human beings took a decision to live life very well, rebelled in sin against God. And so there's this gap that needs to be overcome between us and him. But, gotta love the buts in Scripture, look for them. We'll look at one later, especially in Paul's letters. There are lots of but this, but that, but it's a sign of God speaking, of his voice wanting to be heard. We see right from the beginning, God, even though he's holy, he's also loving and he's merciful. And so that's why he called Moses. That's why he appeared to Moses that day. Not just to show Moses that he was holy, but to choose Moses to lead a nation of people through whom the Messiah would eventually come, Jesus Christ, right? He chooses the nation of Israel. And through the nation of Israel, he wants to reveal to them, and he reveals to us still, even today, that though he's a God who's holy, he's also a God who is merciful. Amen. And so we've got Moses, burning bush, God speaking to him, calling him, and revealing himself as the great I am. We then see God speaking to Moses and promising deliverance. This is all in the beginning of Exodus. I want to mention this because I'm building towards a point. We hear about this leader called Pharaoh. He resists this idea that the nation of Israel are now going to be taken away from underneath him. And so you see this great clash now between Pharaoh and the people of God. And eventually that leads to 10 plagues, the famous 10 plagues of the book of Exodus coming upon that region. Then we see the Exodus. God calls Moses because he wants to lead the people out of Exodus, out from under slavery, into freedom. Following the Exodus, or at the time of Exodus, is the Passover. And following the Passover, there's the crossing of the Red Sea. And once they've crossed the Red Sea, they come to a mountain. Now we know, especially living in Cape Town, the mountains are a good thing, right? That thing there is amazing. It's beautiful. Our life revolves around it. Our traffic revolves around it. It affects us daily in ways we don't even realize, right? And so the nation of Israel found themselves after God has done all these things with Moses, leading them at a mountain. And this mountain is called Mount Sinai. And I want to read from Exodus 19, if we've got that. Exodus 19, verses 2 to 6. It says, "There Israel encamped before the mountain, Mount Sinai, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called out to him. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be to me a treasured possession.'" Just like that little boy on his bicycle with his dad cheering on from the side. "My treasured possession, my son, my boy." And God speaking, the Father speaking to the Son, and God wanting to speak to us. "So that we are God's treasured possession amongst all the peoples, for the earth is his. And we will become to him a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you, Moses, will speak to Israel." And so following God speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai and the Ten Commandments and the instructions that are given to the nation of Israel to live, we see this whole pattern of living and worshiping which is established amongst the nation of Israel. And by chapter 24, things have developed quite a bit. And God is now about to issue an instruction about the pattern of Israel's worship, not just how they live, but now how they are supposed to worship. All right, you still with me? Okay. And following that begins in chapter 24. And then we get to Exodus 25, verse 8. Sorry, 25, verse 8. Did I give that to you, Maris? Oh, sorry. Is it possible to find 8? It'd be amazing. In Exodus 25, verse 8, God says through Moses to the nation of Israel, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell in their midst. exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all its furniture, so you shall make it. And so I've said this about God before. He's like a serious interior designer. Not just is he an architect and builder, but he's particular, hey? Yeah, I mean, having kids, it's one of the things that I struggle with kids. It's like, it's this constant chaos in the home. And just when you think your lounge is organized, boom, Evan's in the house. And it's like, gone. I'm just like, no, I just want it to be neat for like 2 minutes. God likes things neat, just telling you. All right. So that's Exodus 25, verse 8. A few verses later in 22, it goes on with regard to this pattern of the tabernacle and God wanting to dwell in their midst. It says, and you shall put the mercy seat. So this is 25, 22. And you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you about all that I give you in the commandments of the people of Israel. And so this holy God chooses a man to lead a nation. He instructs them with regard to how they are to live, but also with regard to how they are to worship. And then he instructs them to set up this tabernacle, which is going to dwell in the midst of all the people. It was at the center of their life. All the tribes which would pitch their tents and camp around the tabernacle. And inside the tabernacle, in the most holy place, where the Ten Commandments were kept, on top of the Ten Commandments, the Ark of the Covenant, was the mercy seat, a lid over the Ten Commandments with his cherubim on top. And it was there that God spoke to Moses and to the nation of Israel. And it's a picture for us. It's in the Word of God as a picture to us this evening on a Sunday night that God speaks from a place of his mercy-heartedness towards us. Because in his love, which we'll get to in a moment, he is so loving and so merciful that instead of desiring to bring judgment upon us because of original sin, he's made a way rather for mercy to be extended to us. Isn't that awesome? Like the whole nation gathers around to see Moses go in, and we know that once a year the priest would go in on a day of atonement and sacrifices would be given and blood would be shed. And it's from that place of blood being shed on the mercy seat that God speaks to his church, he calls people, and he speaks to the world as well. And so in God's, I mean, he's holy, he's totally set apart from us. His wisdom, his intellect, his knowledge is way beyond us. In who he is, he chose the nation of Israel. He chose Moses, chose the nation of Israel. He constructed this whole pattern of living and worship, so that ultimately through them we would see that that blood points to Jesus. It points to Jesus. And Jesus is the one who's desiring to speak to us today and call us to the Father so that we can experience God's mercy, this holy God, but this merciful God speaking to us. Isn't that incredible? And so today, this evening, God just doesn't just speak to us from on top of the mercy seat, but he speaks to us today through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews 1, just hang in there. If you've got your Bible, you can follow along, or you can open apps. But I've got a few scriptures I'm going to mention here, so you're going to have to keep up. In Hebrews 1, and Hebrews was written specifically as a New Testament letter which unpacks the whole priestly, worshipful aspect of the Jews so that we can understand it now. It gives us the ability, if you read Hebrews, it's a lens through which you can read the Old Testament and understand what was going on with the nation of Israel. And it's incredible how Hebrews elevates Jesus. And so Hebrews 1, verse 1 says this, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. And Jesus himself said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And so, if we want to know what God is like, we've got to know what Jesus is like. And we have to realize what Jesus has done on our behalf so that we can come to know who he is and truly follow him, truly live in communion and in relationship with him. And so in light of what I said, maybe one of the verses of scripture in Hebrews, which can be quite strange, but it's so important. It's Hebrews 12, verse 24, says that the blood speaks a better word. And that's picking up on that Old Testament understanding. Mercy seat, sacrifice, blood, God speaking from there. Just look at me. God speaking from the mercy seat. The New Testament author of Hebrews picks it up. And he says the blood does speak a better word. Because now it's not just animals who are sacrificed for you, but Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, has come and he's died on the cross for you. Once for all, that blood now speaks to humankind for the rest of human history. And so the merciful God expresses his mercy to us in sending his Son so that the judgment that was supposed to come upon us comes upon Jesus so that we can receive his mercy. But if no blood is shed, no mercy can be received. Because God is holy and he's just. And so something had to occur in order for us to be reconciled back to God, knowing that we couldn't do it ourselves. And so God takes it upon himself for his judgment to be poured out upon his Son. And that is what the New Testament talks about as the propitiation by his blood. Sorry, it's a big word. I'm sorry. But these words are important, and if you want to talk about them more, you can. But Romans 3, I keep looking, imagining it's there, sorry. Romans 3 says this, we've all sinned. Romans 3 verse 23, very well-known portion of scripture. Look at me, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory or the holiness of God, right? And we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. Which means when the blood is shed like it was in the Old Testament, God's judgment will come upon that sacrifice. And in the New Testament, Jesus hanging on the cross, his blood shed for us, God's judgment comes upon the blood shed of his very Son. And so a well-known man, far more knowledgeable than me or most of us, says Jesus died because God is showing mercy. It was the mercy of God that gave us Calvary or gave us the cross, not Calvary that gave us mercy. If God had not been merciful, there would have been no incarnation, that means Jesus Christ coming, no babe in the manger, which means no Christmas. Oh, that would suck anyway. No babe in a manger, no man on a cross, and no empty tomb. Jesus died because God is showing mercy. And so the mercy of God, this holy God, but also a merciful God, his mercy gives us the blood that covers our sin. And the blood that covers leads us into the arms, the open arms of this mercy-giving God. And he accepts us and he embraces us. And so back to the voice of God as I finish up this evening. Jesus said many amazing things as we know in the Gospels. But in John 10 he said this. He said, my sheep or my people will hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. It says, I know them. John 17 verse 3. I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And that's why I asked us at the beginning of this evening, has God spoken to you this week? Are you hearing him speak to you? Because it's his desire to speak to us. He wants to be known. But he doesn't just almost speak. He will call us. But if we're going to come into relationship with him, if we're going to walk in intimacy with him, we need to realize from where he speaks. Guys, he speaks through his son from the cross by the blood shed to us. His blood speaks a better word. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can be called to know God and to love him and to be loved by him. Almost done. Last scripture, then we land. And it's why Paul can write. It's because of these truths. It's because of this understanding of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us that Paul can write in Ephesians 2, 4 to 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, now makes us alive together with Christ. Because Jesus dies on the cross, his blood speaks to us, but we know that Jesus goes down into the grave and he rises to life again. And as we're united with Christ in his death, as we accept what Jesus has done on the cross for us, as we receive God's mercy to us, the promise as we do that is we will be raised to life with him. And we will be filled with the Spirit of God and the life of God. And we will experience the resurrection that Christ himself experienced. Now by the Spirit, that resurrection life of God living inside of us now, that calls us to worship, that gives us the life and the joy of living in relationship with Jesus. And then one day our bodies are going to be resurrected as well. Amen. My knee is sore. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And so as I land, I want to ask us this evening. I hope I haven't been too heavy. But this is the truth of who God is. And if we're going to truthfully and honorably lay our lives down to follow him, we need to know who we're following. And we need to know how to follow. I want to ask us this evening, as I've been unpacking a bit of scripture, is this the God we know? Is this the God we know? A God who is holy, but a God who is merciful. Is this the God whose voice we are hearing? Do we even realize where he is speaking from? Because I think sometimes when we walk with God and it's a beautiful, intimate relationship, but we kind of get familiar. If we go back a number of weeks now, I preached on the Holy Spirit, going back, I can't remember how long now. But one of the handbrakes of the Holy Spirit, of us not living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is familiarity, right? And this is one of the areas in which I think we grow familiar and we forget hearing God's voice speaking to us each day. And we are a people who hear him, who walk with him, and it's incredible to walk with God as we do. But we can forget that just hearing his voice is an act of his mercy. So is this the God whose voice we are hearing? Do we realize where he speaks from? Is this the God we know? God of mercy. And so I want to invite us as a church this evening and as a people this evening just to see that and maybe readjust our perspective or maybe our stance or our posture towards God. Realizing he's holy, and because he's holy, he could have poured out his righteous judgment upon us because he's a just God. But in love, he chose rather to pour that judgment out upon his son. Bloodshed, that blood speaks to us today and it calls us. God speaks to us, calls us to himself because of what he's done through his son on the cross.